I want to thank you for praying for Mark Westgate and myself as we returned from Cuba this past Wednesday, whatever day it was. I'm still, my mind is still down there a little bit. It was a great trip. We had the opportunity to accomplish almost everything that we set out to do. We got to visit with all of the pastors that you'll find out there on the wall, those we've been supporting. Some of them, of course, are doing better than others. Some are having a little bit of a struggle in different areas. Some of them are doing fantastic. You know, that's just a part of life. But it was great to be with them. It was great to experience again that trip down there and got some insight into the container where we're going to be sending all of this equipment for them. Probably will take place somewhere around November, December, January. We'll put that all together. We'll be giving you some more information that are along the way. But I want to thank you for praying for us there. One of the things that I got to do while I was there was meet with a very special friend that I probably saw for the last time. I just found out whenever I was down there that his family, all of whom are doctors, his children and his grandchildren, have been insisting for a period of time now that he move to Spain with them. Now, I would have never thought that he would go out of that country unless he went out of that country in a box. I've known Jose. He has been my driver for 15 years, Sandy? Long, long time he's been a driver down there. I actually call him my Cuban pop. He is as close to a father as I have ever had. Some of you know my home life was not good. And so over the course of the years, we have developed, for me and I think for him, a very, very special relationship. And his health isn't great. He's got some challenges going on with that. And so the kids are really putting the pressure on him. And so I knew that it was going to be perhaps the last time that I would see him. Though he says, you know, he might come see me in Washington. He wants to come see Washington. So you pray that that happens. He's a very special person to me. He drove for me for almost 10 years. More than that, I guess, probably closer to 15. When I met him, he was not a believer in Jesus Christ. And he was a great driver, according to him, the best driver in the whole world. And drove me all over Cuba. But here's something that I came to understand after a while. I never quite realized it. He was watching us the whole time while he was driving us. Because you see, he was raised in communist Cuba. He was raised to not like Americans very much. And so when he began, he was simply doing a job. But what I realized was that as we traveled throughout his country year after year after year, he was listening to us preach. He was listening to us teach. He was watching as we ministered to the Cubans that I know he loves more than we do. One day, a couple of years ago, he came to me and out of the blue, he said, he just looked at me and in his way, he said, "I'm ready." And I thought we were going somewhere. I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, "I'm ready." I said, Where are we going? What do you mean you're ready? What do we need to do?" He says, "I'm ready. I know what I want to do." He said, "I've been watching you for many years. You see, you and the people that are with you, they're real. You love my people with God's love. I want that kind of love. I'm ready. Would you tell me how to know Jesus and would you baptize me?" It was amazing. And so a number of years ago, I've got a small video of that in one of the hotels that we were in, I think actually Bayamo, he was baptized. Today, I want to talk with you about how and why you can have that kind of relationship with people. You see, our hearts are knit together. We're knit together at a basic level. It broke my heart. I cried for 15 minutes whenever I left that day. I was in tears because I knew that this man that I loved so deeply and had become so close to me that I may never see him again. You see, his is a relationship that nurtures my soul. And I want to talk with you about how we find those kinds of relationships. Relationships that last through time and distance. Relationships that last through difficulties. Relationships that sustain you and nurture you and help you when times are tough. I want to talk with you about the relationships that change you and that change other people's lives. You see, we all want that, right? We want people in our lives that matter. We want people in our lives that count. We want people in our lives that help us get from where we are to where God wants us to be. And that happens when we are connected to people. When we're connected to people and when we're connected to God. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. And I want to look for you at where we find and how we create and nurture and grow those different kinds of relationships. The first thing I want to say to you is this. We are connected to others. and we grow. We learn how to love them, and we learn how to allow them to love us more deeply when we are connected, when we are a part of one another. I want you to take a look at what Peter says to us here, beginning in chapter 1 and verse 22 of his letter. Peter says this. He says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you." One of the things that I discovered when I began to travel to Cuba on a regular basis is that their relationships are very, very significant to them. They relate on a little bit deeper level than we do. Honestly, in the States, many times our relationships are very surface level. You know, how are those Cowboys? How are those Redskins? How about them Ravens? And it never gets beyond to a little bit deeper level. But when we're connected to others, we learn how to love them, and we learn how to allow them to love us more deeply. And that's what Peter is saying to us. Look what he says here. He says, "Love one another deeply with a sincere love for your brothers." That sincerity says with no pretense, with no dissimulation, with no fakeness, no hypocrisy. That let that love be real. Let it not just be empty words, but a love that flows, he says, from the heart. And the kind of love that he talks about is that agape kind of love. There's, as you know probably, there are a number of different words in the New Testament for love. There's a word that talks about brotherly love. There's a word that talks about family love. There's a word that talks about, you know, just generally love in general. But then there's a love that's talked about, and it's a word that's used to describe how God loves. And it is an unconditional love and an unconditional care that expresses itself in action. It's an agape kind of love. It's the love that's talked about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That list goes on and on and on. And it's a kind of love that is unconditional. It's a kind of love that is sincere. And Peter says to us, love one another that way. He says, love one another deeply. The word means sincerely. It means without ceasing, fervently, intensely. It's not just, hey, here today, love you, see you on the way out. It's a kind of love where you are connected at the heart. It originates from within. It's not something that you conjure up. It's something that naturally flows out of a relationship where you genuinely and authentically care for people. Notice what he says, now that you have purified yourselves, have a sincere love for your brothers, loving one another deeply from the heart. You know, there are times when you're so connected with someone that even when you're not talking about the same thing at the same time, and you know, all of a sudden you will just be in sync. I was sitting there in the chair this morning drinking my coffee, going over my sermon. And I thought I was doing my sermon, but my mind began to wander and it went into a little bit of a different direction. And I looked at my wife and she looked at me and she said, "Well, what about this?" And I thought, boy, that's weird. Because that's exactly what I was just thinking about. You ever been with someone so connected at that level that you know what's going on? Whenever I left Bayamo, which is way down at the western end of the island, and I was leaving for Havana, I told the guy that was driving, I told my driver, not Jose, because his health is such that he can't drive that kind of distance now. He's in his mid-70s and his eyesight isn't great. So I told this new driver that I had, I said, "There's two things you got to know. We're going to make a trip of about," he said, 10 hours. It turned into 12 and a half. Okay? I'll tell you the story sometime. 13,000 bumps. And I'm not exaggerating. 13,000 bumps. You need to give me that exact number, Mark, because I'm going to preach it. It's going to be 14,000 next week because I keep talking. It'll get bigger. I told him, I said, "Eliezer, there's two things that you need to do for me. You need to get me to Havana safely. Okay? Because there's horses and there's cows and there's goats and there's cars and motorcycles and horse-drawn wagons on the freeway. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. So there's two things you got to know. Number one, get me to Havana safely. I want to die out here. Number two, somewhere along the road journey, you have to find me some guava and cheese." Now, guava and cheese, you have to understand that. The guava and cheese is not something that you can go to the store and buy in Cuba. It's not for selling Cuba, and it's certainly not for selling any of the cities. The only place it's country food It's handmade cheese, usually goat cheese, might be cow cheese, but it's handmade cheese. And there's a guy standing beside the road somewhere with a block of cheese. And no, there's no wrapper on it. There's just flies. There's, you know, he's just standing there with a block of cheese for sale. And he might be there tomorrow or he might not be. You know, he's just there when you go by. And if you happen to be there and you get some, that's great. And if you don't, you don't. And so we're driving down and I said, you got 12 hours to find me some guava and cheese because Jose loves guava and cheese and he can't get it in Havana. So we're going to find some on the way. So we're driving down the road. Finally, we found some big block. It must have weighed 5 pounds. It was huge. We buy that. We got some guava. We took it there. So when I went to see him for the last time on the way, the last day before I left, I brought him a gift. I gave it to him. And I handed it to him. So we sat down and we talked for a few minutes. And then we got ready to go. And he looked at me and he started crying. And he says, God really does care for me. I'm like, Jose, what do you mean? He said, my granddaughter arrived from Spain last night. And she is the apple of his eye. Let me tell you why. There are pictures all over his living room of that girl. She arrived from Spain last night. And she said, Granddad, there's only one thing that I want. You know what she wanted? Guava and cheese. And he said, I couldn't give it to her because I didn't have any. And I couldn't go get any, and I didn't know where to get it. And he said, God sent you to provide for my granddaughter what she needed. What I wanted to give her, God took care of me through you. When you're connected to people at that level, sometimes you know what they need, even when you don't know what they need. Sometimes you know what they're thinking, even when you don't know what they're thinking. And that's what Peter is talking about here. He says, when we're connected to others, we love and we love more deeply. Do you have those kind of relationships in your life? Do you have those kinds of people? If you don't have that kind of friend, I promise you, your life is poorer without them in your life. Because God uses them to help you grow and go forward. And it doesn't come by accident. It doesn't just happen. Those relationships grow out of many, many shared experiences. I talked to Dr. Bill Williams one time about this, one of the best counselors I've ever met. And he said, Dennis, he said, a relationship is built one shared experience at a time. He says, it's like building a rope. If you go back and you look at a rope, it's not one solid piece. It's a bunch of little tiny threads that you could break if you took them apart easily, one piece at a time. But they are woven together and there's strength that comes out of the numbers. And he says that's the way with relationships. When you have a relationship over a period of time, a relationship where there's shared ministry, shared prayer, shared fellowship, he says, then you end up with a strong cord that can't be broken. My relationship with Jose came out of shared ministry, years of driving me from one church to the other. After he got to know me, I would say to him one day, Jose, I want to go here. He says, okay, and he would take me there. Then I would say, Jose, I want to go there, and he would take me there. And then I would say, Jose, I want to go there, and he would go, no, I'm not going to take you there. Why not? It's not safe. I said, well, I want to go anyway. He says, no, I'm not going to drive you. And we didn't go. We had that kind of relationship where I learned how to trust him. There was shared prayer. He watched me over the years pray for his people, pray for him, pray for many, many others. Shared fellowship. I could tell you 1,000 stories, but the funniest one is this. He loved to fish. But he didn't have a fishing pole. So one trip, I carried him a fishing pole. So I take him out. We're at the seminary. And I take him out to show him how to cast the fishing pole. So I put a weight on it, no hook on it. And I get back there and I start showing him, this is how you cast. This is how you cast. Well, there's probably only one electric wire in all of Cuba. And of course, what did I do? I threw that weight right over the top of the electric wire. So I'm trying to get it out. I'm trying to get it off. And he's standing there. And he's got this really dry sense of humor. He's like, that's a skinny fish. Probably doesn't taste very good either. I said, thanks, Jose. So I cut that line and we went back and cast. The next time I'm down there, I'm standing there with a group of friends, group of pastors at the seminary. We're standing out there. He walks up to me. He nudges me on the shoulder. He says, hey, he said, you want to show them how to fish? And he looked at me, started laughing, and he pointed up there. That stinking weight was still on that line. It's there for about 5 years. Every time I was out there, he's like, line fish. Got a line fish. you know what? You build relationships with people one shared experience at a time. When we're connected to others, the second thing that happens is we grow in our spiritual life. Brittany talked about that a little bit this morning. In the next couple of verses, Peter tells us how to encourage spiritual growth in our life. Not only do we experience more love, and do we love others more completely when we're connected, we also experience greater spiritual growth. Notice what he says here in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Relationships are the fertile ground of spiritual growth. Now we know that because Proverbs says it to us. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. When you look at that verse, those couple of verses, Peter says there's four things that help you grow in your spiritual life that come out of relationships with others. First thing he says is this. He says, there's some things in your life that you need to make sure you get rid of because they break relationship. Now he lists four sins here, or five sins here. They're not random. He's not just randomly picking four or five of them up. Because if you take a look at them, all five of them, take a look, affect relationships negatively. He says, get rid of what? Malice, antagonistic evil towards them. You ever had an enemy that just looked for the opportunity to hurt you? Peter says, get rid of that because it breaks relationship. He says, get rid of deceit. It means to trick or to be a decoy for someone. Means get rid of hypocrisy, acting the part, not relating truthfully. Get rid of envy, which is jealousy towards someone. Get rid of slander, which is backbiting and gossip. All five of those are negative towards relationships. And so what he's saying to us is this. He says, listen, if you want to have true spiritual growth in your life, if you want to be connected with other people, and you have some of those things in your life, if you tend towards jealousy, you tend towards envy, you tend toward an uncontrolled tongue, you need to get rid of that. It needs to go away because you can't build healthy spiritual relationships with those kinds of things in your life. Nobody wants to be around the gossip. They don't want that person close in their life because it affects the relationship negatively. Get rid of the sin in your life that breaks relationships. Second thing he says is desire the right things that will help you grow. It's out with the bad, in with the new. Whenever I started going to a trainer, she talked to me all the time about what I ate. I'm like, well, I'm exercising more. That means I can eat whatever I want, right? She says, no, not if you want to lose weight and stay healthy. And one of the things I discovered after a period of time was the more I exercised, the less I wanted to eat that junk. I eat 100 times less candy and sweets than I used to eat because they just don't appeal to me more. Every once in a while, I just find myself craving a nice salad. Who would have thought? Who would have ever thought that you would crave a nice salad? But every once in a while, you just got to have that. And that's what Paul, it's what Peter's saying to us here. Look, he says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk. He's talking about the milk of the Word. We won't go there for time's sake, but over in Hebrews chapter 5, he talks about the milk of the Word, which helps us grow. And we start off with that, and then we develop over time where we're able to eat more solid food. He then calls it the meat of the Word. He says, crave that, desire that. Have this strong, intense desire to possess it and to long for it. What he's talking about is the study of the Word of God. Using the Word of God to feed yourself spiritually so that you can grow and go forward. He says, as you keep coming to Him. Look at verse 4. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him. We don't have the ability to translate that particular word there as well with just one word. So we just use one, but it doesn't convey the full meaning of it. Because this word that he uses there in the original language means as you come to Him and 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 come to Him. It's an ongoing action. It means that we are constantly in the pursuit of God and asking Him to do work in our life. Those are the kind of things that happen when we're connected with other people. And then he says, when you do that, you're being built up. You're being constructed into, take a look at it, being built up into a dwelling place for God. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to one who does not believe, the stone the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. It says, a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message for which they were also destined. So he says to us that we are being built into a house of God. Go back over to verse 4. He says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You're being built into a spiritual house. And it's a work that God does in your life. And one of the ways that he does that work in your life is he does that through relationship. And the word that he uses there, being built into a house, is a word to describe what a carpenter does when he puts a board up, or what a mason does when he puts another brick in. It's an actual word that talks about the construction of a house. And here's what he's saying to us. Peter's given us an illustration. He says, every time you're connected to someone else, and they begin to speak into your life, and they begin to love you, and they begin to care for you, it's like another stone is added into your life. It's like there's another person there that's going to make you stronger. There's another person that's going to help you grow. It's like another nail that goes in that makes you just a little bit more solid. And here's the beautiful thing about that. This is Peter who is writing, and he says, as you are being built into a spiritual house. You know what word he uses? This is so beautiful. Follow the scripture. It is the exact same verb that is used over in the Gospels when Jesus looked at Peter one day and he said, hey, Peter, I'm going to give you a new name. And on this rock, I will, what did he say? Build. And it is exactly the same verb that Peter uses. When he says, you too, when you're connected to God and when you're connected to people, God is building, he's doing in you what he said he was going to do in me. He's going to build you up into the person that he wants you to be. He's going to build you up into the disciple that he wants you to be. He's going to build you up into the spiritual man or spiritual woman that he wants you to be. But listen to me, that doesn't happen in isolation. How did Jesus build Peter? One experience at a time. He walked with him, connected with him for years. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen sitting in a chair listening to a sermon. It doesn't happen without others to help us. It doesn't happen when there are broken relationships. It happens when we minister together, when we serve together, when we're connected at the heart level. I know my brother Mark now really, really well. He'll tell you how loud I snore if you want. We shared a room down in Cuba. But we shared so much more than that. I saw God work through him in a marvelous way. You know, now this will probably not encourage you to ever go with me on a mission trip. But on Sunday morning, this last Sunday, we're standing there and they had me preaching where we were at. And they were like halfway through the first song. And I leaned over past the translator and I said, hey, Mark, by the way, you're giving your testimony this morning. And he had that look in his eye. I'm like, I didn't want to worry you. It's okay. Don't get nervous. He did a marvelous job. God worked through him. It's amazing to see what happens when you make yourself available to God. When we are connected to others, we love and we are loved more deeply. When we're connected to others, we grow more in our spiritual life. And finally, when we're connected to others, we can share Jesus more effectively. When we have authentic, sincere, loving relationships, then we have earned the right to share what we know about Jesus with other people. Peter expresses that in a couple of different ways. Pick up with me, if you will, down in verse 9. Notice first he says who we are, then he says what we do. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that the purpose of, this is what we do, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Look at verse 12. But live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. Peter talks about, first of all, who we are. When we're connected to Jesus, when we have Him as Lord and Savior, then we're chosen people. The word means handpicked as His very own. We're a royal priesthood. We're the people who are the go-betweens. That's what a priest is. He's the one who stands between God and the world. And God uses him to connect people. We're a holy nation. We're God's people, set apart for Him. We belong to Him. We are His, unmistakably marked as His prized possession. And Peter says, that's who we are. But he says, we're that for a reason. In order that, look what he says, in order that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. And he goes on to say there's two different ways that you do that. You declare it, you publish it abroad, you celebrate, you point out to others the goodness of God in your life with words. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on down in the last couple of verses, he talks about the deeds. Look at what he says in verse 12. So that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Now, there's this old famous saying that says, preach at every opportunity and use words when necessary. You can preach without words. You can communicate without words. People can look at who you are and how you live. And then you'll have the opportunity to speak into that and share why you are the kind of person that you are. That's why we do Tyler Heights. That's why we do Food Pantry. That's why we do City Serve. That's why we do Winter Relief. What we're doing is we're simply living out our faith and our love for Jesus in a practical way every single time we serve others. And as we do that, we earn the right to declare His praises to them. We earn the right to share with them who Jesus is, what He's done in our life, and what He wants to do in theirs. People listen to you better with a more receptive heart when you have an authentic, sincere relationship. When you have served them, know them, love them, and they know that you love them, then they hear you much more effectively. So I have two goals for you this morning. Two goals for this entire day. Number one, I want you to be connected to God. I want you to be connected to God. Maybe you're like Jose was that first couple of years. Maybe you've just been around here for a while and you've just been watching. You want to see if this thing is real. You want to know, are these people really the real deal, or are they just mouthing empty words? I'm going to tell you, at a church like this, this place, if you go over to that next room, you'll find 50 different booths this morning that live out what it means to be the people of God. And if you've been here and you're like Jose, and you would say to me this morning, you know what, Pastor, I've been here for a while, I've been looking, I've been watching, I want what these people have. I want that love. I want that relationship. I want God to begin working in my life. I want to be connected to Him at that level. And I'm going to give you the opportunity at the end of the service to come and to say, Pastor, would you pray with me so that I can know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? Now, I look forward to the opportunity when we can get together in the baptistry and you can testify of your public faith in Jesus Christ. But if you know Him, my goal for you this morning is that you be connected. That you know that you have the relationships with people and that you celebrate those relationships. And we're going to do that in a fun way this morning. We've been talking about it for a while, looking for a way to do that. And so, yes, in fact, we gave you a couple of Legos on the way in. Did everybody get their two yellow Legos? I hope. If you didn't, on the way out, the ushers will have some ready, okay? So if you slipped in and you didn't get the Legos, you should be getting, on the way out, two. Count them, yellow Legos. One of them has something printed on it, and one of them is blank. So you have two Legos for two different reasons. The one that is blank, I'm going to encourage you to go over to the gym, find one of the Sharpies that is over there and write your name on it, and together we are going to build a living house. We're going to build a Lego church, okay, with these yellow blocks. So you're going to write on there your name, because if the yellow represents worship. If you're a part of the worship at Riva Trace Baptist Church, you are a part of the family of God. So you come over there and put your block in. We got it set up over there and it's ready to go. The second one, the one that's got the printed stuff on it, that's for you to take home. And what are you going to do with that one that you're going to take home? Anybody want to guess? What are you doing? We're going to be looking for somebody that don't know Jesus, because we want to connect them to God. In the next 6 to 9 months, we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about connecting people. So we're going to look for the opportunity to find people that you can declare the praise of God to and say, hey, I know a place where you can know God and be connected to Him. Would you come and be my guest? Put it in your car, put it in your refrigerator, put it on your desk, put it wherever you need to put it, where it's a constant reminder to you that you can invite someone to be a part of the family of God. But we're not done. Oh, there is so much more. When you go over to the gym, what you're going to discover is that there's going to be some orange blocks and some red blocks and some green blocks and some blue blocks, and it's all set up over there. The leaders of the different ministries are going to be over there. And if you are already connected, here's what you're going to do. You're going to say, you know what? I am a regular giver. So I'm going to find the green block. There's one little lonely green table over there all by itself in the corner. But if you are a regular giver, you go over there and you get your green block. And if you're not, and you want to be, and you're ready to make that commitment, go get a green block and say, you know what? I'm going to help build the church of God. Because every single time you give, that's what you do. Right? Some of you gave some stuff that's back over here. You're giving to build the church of God. Then if you're involved in missions of some kind, find a red block and go, you know what? I'm already involved in a mission group. I work in one of the different mission groups that's over there. So I've got a yellow block, I've got a green block, I've got a red block. Oh, by the way, I'm involved in one of the ministries that we've got going on around here. I'm going to get a blue block because I'm involved in one of the ministries. I'm going to put that in my step. So you go through all the places. You get all the ones that you are already involved in, okay? And then in the center, there's a table there. Just go over and plug them in. And together, we're going to start building the church. Now, the Lego fairies are going to come sometime this week. And they're going to take what we do and they're going to make it look a little bit prettier. So we want to celebrate if you are already connected. Now, here's the other half of it. It may be that so far, all you've got is one. Because you're here, you're just checking it out, you're just looking, you're brand new, you've only been here for a little while, and you haven't had a chance to get connected yet. Today, have I got a deal for you? Today is your day. Bob, you need some help with winter relief? Bob needs some help with winter relief. Crystal, you got some room in your Sunday night ladies group? Crystal says she's got room in Sunday night ladies group. Larry, can we have more people pray with us on Sunday night when we get together to pray? Larry says, yeah, we got a few extra chairs over there. Christy, you got some groups, you got some people, you know, opportunities for missions for people to get engaged and involved. All kinds of them over there. Serena, you got some places back in the nursery where you can use a little bit of help? They're all going to be over there. They're all going to be at the table. And you can go over there and you can find, you say, you know what? I've never been in a Bible study. I don't have a purple block, but I want to be. I want to get connected. So you go over there, you walk up to that table, just like Brittany did last time, and you go, you know what? What are you doing here? What's the Band of Brothers all about? What do you guys do on Tuesday night when you get together? Sign me up. Take your block, your stack of whatever it is you got. Now, you only get one. If you're in three Bible studies, you don't get three blocks. One for each Bible study. And go and build our church. Actually, it's really not our church, is it, Danny? It's what? His church. Now, kind of a fun thing. An opportunity to be engaged, be involved. But here's what I want to say to you. When you're connected to people, you grow more. When you're connected to people, you love more. When you're connected to people, you have the opportunity to share more. You have a choice when you leave. You can take your block and slip it in your pocket, sneak on out. You can go over and plug in your yellow block and slip out the door. And things will stay the same. Tomorrow, it probably won't make a difference. It'll be okay. Next week, probably won't make a difference. You won't know a difference that you never got connected. Maybe next month, that hole in your heart, you'll recognize it's still there. 6 months or a year from now, when bad stuff comes your way, and you need someone in your life to pray for you, to pray with you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, you're going to realize, I'm not connected to people at that level. I don't have it. Today, tomorrow, it won't make much difference. But when the wheels come off, when it gets difficult, all of a sudden you're going to look and it's not going to be there. Because you haven't invested the time, the energy, the effort to build those kinds of relationships. My hope and my prayer for you this morning is that if you are connected, you'll celebrate that and you'll make a decision to take a step further. And if you're not, that God will use this time to draw you closer to Himself. Will you bow with me as we pray? Father, I thank You for today. Lord, I pray that You'll teach us, as Peter said, to love one another deeply and sincerely from the heart. Pray that You'll help us be connected to You and to Your church and to one another. Lord, show us just how much we need You and how much we need one another. God, I pray for those who are on the fence right now, who have that desire in their heart, but they're intimidated, they're afraid, they're unsure whether or not they can commit, they're unsure whether or not they can step out. God, I pray that in this next few moments and in the time in between the services, that You will speak to their heart, that You'll encourage them, that You'll strengthen them. You'll help them take that step of faith. That 6 months from now, they can say exactly what Brittany was saying. My spiritual life has grown. I've got friends. I've got people. I've got supporters that I can call and who can pray for me. I'm not alone in this thing. God, help us to do whatever we need to do to be connected to You. And Lord, if there are some people here this morning like Jose who've been watching and waiting and thinking and praying and evaluating, may today be the day that they say, I'm ready. Pastor, I want the same kind of love that I see in the hearts and the lives of the people around me. They're not perfect. They have flaws. They have faults. But I can see where God's working in them. I can see where God is working through them. And I want Him to do that in my life as well. God, in this next few moments, You do, through the power of Your Spirit, what only You can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing? I want to challenge you to prayerfully...